Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life to listen to the broadcast. Today is Monday, October 7th. This entire month on The Cross in the Desert, I am dedicating it to Rahane Jabari. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Rahane Jabari, she is very well known among the Iranian people. She was an innocent victim of a rape attack more than 12 years ago by a former intelligence agent named Morteza Sarbandi. In this attack, Rahane defended herself by attacking her assailant and stabbing him with a knife, which is what any normal girl would do under those circumstances. Because he died of his stab wound, because he had the reputation as a former intelligence agent, Rahane was arrested, was put in solitary confinement, was tortured. The regime tried to get her to change the story that she was not raped because of his reputation. Rahane refused. As an honorable woman, for 7 years, this woman suffered. They made it out to be just a family matter between two families, but it was far more than that, and I'm going to show that on today's program. But on October 25th, 2014, Rahane was executed and hanged in Tehran. I wrote a book about her life called Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It is the most life-transforming book I've ever written. Rahane, in so many ways, is the symbol of all Iranian women. There has been many deaths of Iranian women since her. Those that have been raped by members of the Revolutionary Guard and so on and so forth. Most of them, because they know and are familiar with Rahane's story, most of them committed suicide rather than to endure the suffering that Rahane went through. This month on The Cross in the Desert, I will be featuring segments about Rahane's life, reading from my book to bring attention to her story so that she is never forgotten as a symbol of courage and hope among all Iranian women. If you're not familiar with her story and want to read more in detail about this courageous, wonderful woman, a victim of the Iranian regime, you need to just go up to Amazon, Amazon.com. The name of my book is Rahane, R-E-Y-H-A-N-E-H, Rahane, or Rahana, A Beautiful Fragrance, Randy L. Noble, N-O-B-L-E. I will be, of course, advertising the book all month, but it is a book, it's a must-read to understand how women are treated in Iran, especially those who are rape victims. Now, what I want to do, because of my limited time, I want to get into the whole culture, the whole treatment of women in Iran. Why wasn't Rahane's testimony as a victim, why was that not accepted in the courts of Iran? Well, for most of us, we know how women are treated. But I want to explain this to everyone, to those who might be first-time listeners, to those who are not familiar. I want to explain why Rahane's testimony was not accepted in court. In my book, The Cross in the Desert, I have an article called Rahane Jabari, The Crime of Self-Defense. This was written literally just a month or so before her execution. And I want to read this to you and explain to you why women, why their testimony is not accepted. Now, if you think back to presidential elections, during the 2012 presidential election here in the United States, liberals got on the bandwagon. They were accusing conservatives of suppressing the rights of women. And the common phrase that was used to describe their outrage, this discrimination, was the hot button term entitled the war on women. Well, let me tell you what. There is a war on women that has nothing to do with this ridiculous political debate waged between conservatives and liberals. The real war on women transcends that whole political arena. Here, the real war on women is being waged every second of every day against women in Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, the rest of the Middle East. And the war has many scars, many casualties, many, many innocent victims. It's a deliberate hatred and discrimination against women. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to surf the internet for articles. And I came across this outrageous, blatant article made by an unidentified Saudi professor. He didn't have the courtesy or the balls to mention his name. Now, I want you to hear. There's a caption, there's a picture, I guess, of him on the internet, and it says, if a woman gets raped in public alone, then she herself is at fault. She is only seducing men by her presence. She should have stayed home like a normal Muslim woman. Well, you should be outraged at this sexist and discriminatory statement. And again, where are the liberal women to defend these women in the Middle East? Why are the women's rights activists always so silent? I'll never know. Well, adding insult to injury, this man who made this statement is a Saudi teaching professor in Saudi Arabia. In the Islamic world, women are treated like possessions, like property, and really are considered nothing more than second-class citizens. They're not allowed to travel alone. They have to obtain permission for their husbands if they want to leave the country. When you understand the male mindset against women in the Middle East, then and only then can you understand why a 26-year-old girl was on death row 5 years ago in Iran. And, of course, her name was Rahane Jabari. What was her crime? The crime of self-defense. In 2007, Marteza Sorbandi, the former intelligence agent in Iran, contacted Rahane, asked her to do some work in redesigning his office because he overheard a conversation of her on the phone as an interior designer. According to Rahane's testimony, she was driven to his apartment. Once inside this apartment, and it was empty and dirty, Sorbandi began to proposition her, to tell Rahane to relax, take off her hijab. And a few seconds later, he tried to attack and sexually assault her. Rahane found a knife on a table. She picked up the knife and defended herself. She stabbed him in a very ordinary way in his back toward his left arm. Unfortunately, this must have hit an artery and he bled out. The whole trial of Rahane was a travesty of justice, a perversion of the true judicial process. She was convicted of murder, not self-defense, but murder, coerced under pressure to confess that she purchased the knife. deliberately. This was a plot that they were having some kind of an affair. She got mad at him, and she purchased the knife to kill him, which was a lie. But she was coerced under pressure. The interrogator threatened to do harm to her sister. That's in my book. Now, subsequent evidence that was never entered at the trial, there were drinks laced with drugs. It demonstrated that Cervantes had the whole scenario planned from start to finish. And yet this vital evidence was suppressed, along many other facts in the case that would have easily exonerated Rahani and any other normal criminal court. Why wasn't Rahani's testimony accepted? Really simple. It's the view of women, according to the teachings of Islam, all across the Middle East. I want you to hear a quote from the Hadith, which is the sayings of Muhammad, not contained in the Quran. It's an interesting story, but listen to it. Once Allah's apostle went out to the Musalla to offer the prayer, then he passed by the women and said, "O women, give alms, as I have seen that the majority of the hellfire were you." In other words, he's saying, "I had a vision of hell, and the majority of inhabitants there were women." They asked, "Why is it so, O Allah's apostle?" He replied, "You curse frequently. You're ungrateful to your husbands. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you. A cautious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you." The women asked, "O Allah's apostle, what is deficient in our intelligence, in our religion?" He said, "Is not the evidence of two women equal to the witness of one man? Women are only half of what men are." He said, "This is the deficiency in her intelligence. Isn't it true that a woman can neither pray nor fast during menses?" The women replied in the affirmative. He said, "This is the deficiency in her religion." Volume 1, Book 6, number 301 of the Hadith. In another Hadith, the Prophet Muhammad was given the news that the people of Persia had made the daughter of Khosrau their queen, to which he replied, "Never will succeed such a nation that makes a woman their ruler." Volume 9, Book 88, number 21. When considering this weight of evidence, it is easy now to understand why Rahani's version of the crime in Iran was not accepted. She is a woman. Her evidence is less than half that of a man's. She's deficient in intelligence. She's deficient in her religion. And I know exactly what I speak of every day. I talk to my dear Iranian friends. They share with me story after story of the oppression and discrimination of women. Now, in my book, Rahani, A Beautiful Fragrance, I have a chapter, chapter 3, that talks about the culture that Rahani grew up in. From the very moment she was born in the Iranian culture in 1987, she faced incredible odds to be successful as a woman. And I want to bring you the case. It's a well-known case of Atafi Salehi. Atafi Salehi grew up in Mecca, Iran. From the very beginning, her life was filled with tragedy. When she was just 5 years old, her mother died in a car accident, and then shortly after that, her younger brother drowned in the river. Only her father remained, and trying to cope with the pain, he resorted to drugs, and soon her father became an addict. So this forced Atafi to become the caregiver for her elderly grandparents. At the tender age of 16, tragedy once again invaded the Salehi family when Atafi became the rape victim of a 51-year-old man. His name, Ali Darabi. He's an ex-member of Iran's Revolutionary Guard and the father of three children. He was accused of sexually violating young Atafi. Now, this is no different than the accusation that Rahani brought against Morteza. However, instead of a court exonerating Atafi, As a rape victim, she was arrested and convicted under Sharia law for crimes against chastity. Again, let's get some context here. In the Muslim world, Sharia law is the final court of arbitration in all circumstances of everyday life. According to Sharia law, in order to prove a legitimate case of rape, there must be at least 4 eyewitnesses. Well, because the requirement for proof of rape is just nearly impossible, judges have no choice but to punish the victims. The act of rape has to be proved, and if it is not, then the victim is accused of fornication. So this victim, this young girl, Atifi, it's a devastating verdict against her. The psychological ramifications are too difficult for someone for that to bear. The woman is shamed into death. She becomes a social outcast, unsuitable for marriage, bringing dishonor on the family, and in most cultures, she becomes the victim of violent honor killing. Here's the law in Iran. Punishment for sex outside of marriage is stoning for married adulteresses and flogging in exile for the unmarried. Under torture, Atifi admitted to having sex with Ali, but explained she had been raped. She had been beaten for more than 3 years. Realizing that she was losing the case in court, Atifi, and she was, you have to understand, this is a 16-year-old girl. She removed her hijab and argued that Ali should be punished instead of her. So in a rage, she took off her shoe. She threw it at the judge's face. Immediately, the judge responded by ordering her to be executed. Now, when it came time for the execution, Judge Haji Razi applied the noose to Atifi's neck and hanged Atifi himself. So Atifi, like Rahana, had no hope of convincing the Iranian court that she had been abused and raped. The reputation of a former member of the Revolutionary Guard was at stake. His version of the crime would certainly be accepted and believed more than Atifi's. As I read to you from the Hadith and the Quran itself, this whole teaching about deficiency of women in their religion, it undermines the worth, the value, the witness of a woman, reducing her testimony and intelligence far below that of a man's. Atifi suffered under a system that discriminates against women, resulting in her life being taken by a culture where men are considered superior in every way. The execution of Atifi was a young juvenile under the age of 18. Iran has signed declarations not to do this, but they continue to execute juveniles. Once again, this is what happens to innocent young girls. Another story I want to tell you briefly. A year later, another similar case brought international outrage as a young 17-year-old teenage girl was sentenced to death when she defended herself against a gang of young men trying to rape her and her niece. The incident took place in Karaj, Iran. Nazanin Fatahi and her niece were approached by 3 young men. When one of them tried to sexually assault her, Nazanin defended herself by stabbing him to death with a knife, just like Rahani. The news of Nazanin's desperate situation of being on death row reached another Nazanin thousands of miles away in Canada. Her name, Nazanin Afshinjam. She responded to an email asking her to help be a voice of hope and freedom for this young 17-year-old girl. Nazanin was a well-known person throughout the world. She was a former Miss World Canada, president of Stop Child Executions, a dedicated human rights activist for Iranians. Nazanin wasted no time in organizing a worldwide campaign to bring attention to Nazanin Fatahi's case. She created a website to raise money for this girl's bail, and after 2 years in jail, miraculously, Nazanin was released on January 3rd, 2007. All of the charges against her were dropped because of one dedicated human rights activist who organized international pressure. Rarely does this happen, but it happened in the case of this Nazanin. In my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, I dedicate my book in defense of her honor. Rahane's name in the beautiful Persian language means flower fragrance. My name, ironically, in the English language means defender. And, you know, I don't believe there was any coincidence that I wrote this book, because I wrote it to defend Rahane's honor as a woman. She was the victim of a man's uncontrollable sexual advances. Unfortunately, Rahane grew up in a culture, according to the Quran, that teaches men are superior to women, and the testimony of a woman is only worth half that of a man's. Surah chapter 2, verse 282, Surah chapter 4, verse 34. Rahane grew up in this kind of culture, and because she defended herself against a former intelligence agent, her fate was sealed from the beginning. In this case, the Iranian regime would do everything in its power to protect the reputation of a government man, but instead, that meant Rahane had no hope of surviving. She would be sacrificed on the altar of convenience so that the Sarbandi name would not be tainted. Right before Rahane's execution, the regime brought in cameramen and reporters to pressure Rahane into changing her story. They had been doing this relentlessly for 7 years. Just say, he did not try to rape me. That's what they did. Rahane was sick with a fever. She was weak. She was emotionally and physically devastated. And this is what they did to her before her execution. Rahane, strong as a mountain, refused to lie and compromise the truth. But instead, she stood strong, tall as a majestic mountain, and looked in the face of her accusers and responded, I will not lie. The reason I chose the name, A Beautiful Fragrance, for my book about Rahane was because Rahane exemplified and lived up to the meaning behind her name. She was a beautiful fragrance of honor, kindness, mercy, and courage. Do you know she forgave her interrogator shortly before her execution and showed kindness and compassion to the many women political prisoners in prison who had come from destitute and filthy walks of life? I'm going to be reading to you from this book all the rest of this month, and bringing awareness to Rahane and all other victims like Rahane in Iran that you never hear their story, and they should be told. The beautiful fragrance had an incredible encounter in prison before she died. This story was published in her prison letter, but was never published on the internet. Her mother shared it with me. Rahane had the visitation. All we can say is that it had to be supernatural. It had to be an angel. She had a visitation from a young Christian girl who persuaded her to read the Bible. This young Christian girl told her her testimony, talked to her about Jesus. Rahane woke up thinking it was a dream, but underneath her pillow, there was a tiny metal cross that this Christian girl had given her. Her mission was to find this young girl in prison. She never found her, but she persuaded her mom to find a way to give her a Bible. In prison, Rahane read the Bible through twice. It changed her heart, her mind, when she encountered Jesus in the Bible. And so while she unfortunately suffered execution by hanging, as I write, in my book, she went home into the loving arms of her Savior, Jesus Christ. Before prison, Rouhani was not a religious person. She didn't talk about it. It was while she was in prison, shortly before her execution, that everything changed. And I want to share with you that there is a hope for Iranian women who are suffering. I prayed for Rouhani faithfully up until the day she was executed. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God indeed answered our prayers, maybe not in the way we wanted, but he took her out of her suffering before her 27th birthday. Rouhani had a hope in Jesus that sustained her right up until the very moment of execution. You see, because that is the hope and freedom that God wants Iranians to know. I believe in speaking up for their human rights. I fight for them. I petition for them. I write books for them. But in the end, the hope that will bring freedom and salvation to the Iranian people is Jesus. The fastest growing church in the world is the Iran Underground Church. It surpasses every underground church in the world. Why? Because Iranians have found their hope in Jesus. They have looked at the fruit of Islam. They have seen what Islam has done to them physically, mentally, spiritually, and they have found that in Christ they have a hope, not only for human rights, but in the end for freedom, true freedom, and salvation. And so today, as I begin this month of speaking for Rouhani and all rape victims in Iran, I want you to know, if you're listening as an Iranian, the hope and the freedom that you are looking for ultimately is not in a new government, as good as that will be. And I believe one day freedom and democracy will come to Iran. But the real hope and freedom that you need is found in Masih, that is Jesus. And today I ask you, raise your voice, cry out to him, ask him to reveal his truth to you. He will do that because he loves you, he cares for you, he has a purpose and a plan for your life. I want to thank you so much today for spending time with me. And for the next month, I want you to pray for the Iranian women who suffer, like Blue Girl, Sahar Kotahari, who set herself on fire because she wasn't allowed to watch a soccer match, a football match in Tehran. Our new book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, is dedicated to Sahar Kotahari. Today, I ask you, remember the suffering women in Iran. And if you want to read Rouhani's story, go up to Amazon. I'll be offering it all month. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you on the next Crossing the Desert.